covering the College World Series. I don't want it to be the way they want it. This town, this rap, this crowd, come on, put them up, let me hear it loud. This town, this city, this crowd, stand up on your feet when you're wearing down. And every one of you all around, come on, y'all, let's take this town.
You are now watching the College Baseball Insider Show.
What's going on, guys? It's a little bittersweet. We are in the last weekend of the regular season, and while my Twitter feed is full of Livy Dunn and Sports Illustrated, the NBA draft lottery being rigged, and these NBA and NHL playoffs, we have college baseball, and that's what we're all here for. Obviously, what you're here for, too. As we get started, Nick and Q join me as always. What's up, boys?
It's bittersweet, like you said. It's probably the best word. Last regular season show, but season ramps up. This is our busy time. It's the most exciting time. Just savor it in. It's been a good season. A lot of chaos.
Yeah, it feels like it's flown by. Like, I can't believe this is week 14. It didn't seem that long ago since season started on Valentine's Day on February 14th. And now here we are. We're really starting on a Thursday. Regular season ends Saturday. That doesn't seem real. It seems like it's flown by way too quick.
So we've got a couple of good matchups on deck, a lot that will dictate who maybe wins the regular season conference for several of the conferences here. But let's get started in the ACC. We've got Wake Forest taking on Louisville. And as you'll see, it's kind of a typical thing right now with pitchers trying to stay on normal rest. So the typical Friday starter, since they're playing on Thursday through Saturday, they may throw off a day to keep their more critical arms on that week's schedule. So you've got Blake Morningstar going for Wake Forest, taking on Ethan Eberle, not Patrick Forbes. In this one, Wake Forest and -131 favorite on our site. Do one of you guys have the actual line? Last time I saw it, it was -115 both ways.
That's the last I saw about an hour ago.
I think it moved. Yeah, it's 120 now for Wake. So 120.
What's the over under at?
16.
Hmm. Yeah, I was gonna say I expect runs.
Yeah,
Louisville can hit in their park. I just couldn't pick a side because I think either side could either win it or blow it. they're mm-hmm. pretty similar team here. On paper, Wake's probably the more talented team, but Louisville, again, plays better at home, which isn't too obvious. But this would be a 16 is a little much for me on a Thursday night, so it's a stay away. You give me that like on a Saturday or Sunday, I'll jump all over. But I don't know. Sometimes it seems like unders kind of take over Thursdays. Just, you know, maybe the bats kind of aren't quite awake. And then you start seeing Friday and Saturday, they kind of tune up. But this is a stay away for me. It's going to be an exciting game if you want to watch it.
Look at Morningstar's ERA over his last three outings, 2.4. He hadn't been bad, and we've seen Louisville struggle to hit. So I would actually lean under, I think, more than anything. Just hope that Wake can jump out on him early and just run rule him, which at that point, if you're betting on DraftKings, I guess you're getting voided.
Yeah.
Nick?
Yeah, it's a weird – I'm with Q. Like, it's a complete stay away because you don't know. These are two teams that are so unpredictable, where you just don't know what you're getting day in and day out. Like, we saw Louisville last Friday against Tate McKee put up, was it 22?
Yeah.
I think, or something like that. I think they beat Georgia Tech like 22-2 or something crazy, and that was Tate McKee, and he's better than Morningstar, at least personally I think so. But then also you have Wake, who's been quietly good recently. I know their schedule's kind of been a little bit soft compared to how, like, they started the ACC season. So, like, it's kind of helped, like, them kind of get back on pace. But, yeah, this is one of those where it's like I think 16 is probably right around that correct number. Because I do think it probably is something like a 9-6, 9-7 type game. But I couldn't tell you which way it goes and who I'd favor. So, yeah, this is a complete stay away for me.
All right, let's move on to another one. We'll see if we can get a bet out of you guys. Georgia Tech at Duke. I personally played Duke -115. These are two teams, and I put it in our write-up on Dub Club. Congrats if you already saw that and got the better number. But if you had to make a list of teams you trust from the ACC, Georgia Tech and Duke would not be at the top of the list. Yet here we are. Both of them are kind of fighting for that seeding, regional seeding possibility, depending on how this series goes and a couple of others. Duke, are they good? I know they started the season like absolute dog shit. They were fade potential. Now they're kind of stringing it along. Fourth in the country in weighted runs created, first in WOBA over their last 10. They are raking right now. Their pitching staff always seems to be decent. Is it Blue Devils in this one, or do you think Georgia Tech still has some life left in them?
I think you're on the right side. I think moving Kyle Johnson out of the Friday night starter, in this case Thursday night, was the best move for him. I think it gives him stability on the front end. Owen Probst came out of the bullpen. He was a big-time bullpen arm for him last year, and then coming into this year, he's pitched lights out as a starter. Tate McKee has pitched well, but Georgia Tech kind of fell off about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it just seems like they haven't necessarily gathered back that momentum that they started. What, they were like 21-2 or something crazy like that. And Duke being at home, Duke's playing for, you know, implications in the ACC. I think they get this at least tonight.
Yeah, I do have a play in this one. And it's actually not on the side. It's going to be on the over. Right now, like, I haven't played it because 11.5 came out. But it's at, I think, minus 125 was the best one. But it's moving in that direction. So I think we can get, like, a minus 115, minus 110 on the over. Tate McKee has just not been himself recently. And on the road, if you look at his ERA on the road is 6.79 as a road starter. And I know Owen Probst has been great lately, but he's also not somebody who I think is going to last like through the fifth or sixth, especially in this matchup. So it's like, you ask me who I trust. I trust both of these offenses more than I do either pitching staff, more than I do either bullpen. So I think when you get this at 11.5, that's going to be my play that I'm on today.
It's minus 115 on DraftKings right now.
So it got moved because they had it at 12.
Yeah, it's 11.5 minus 115.
Yep. Okay. Playable. I'll put that in.
All right. Staying in the SEC, the premier matchup of the ACC this weekend, Georgia Tech. We just did that. Florida State taking on North Carolina. Jake Knapp and Jamie Arnold, primetime pitching. Just a great pitching matchup in general, but especially for the ACC, if not two of the best arms in the ACC. Who do you have in this one? The website really likes Florida State. I don't know what the current number is. You have that in front of you?
45.
Okay. So still about what it was last night?
Yeah.
I think this series is Florida State.
154 plus 120.
Oh, yeah, 154, yep.
I just can't make a case for North Carolina right now. I don't feel like they're as battle-tested. And I'm not saying that they don't deserve to be a national seed, but they don't deserve to be a national seed.
The offense is the Achilles.
Unless they beat Florida State.
The offense, it seems like in big series, they just haven't shown up. And, you know, when you're going against Jamie Arnold, whatever your way to runs created, or however you want to establish your offense, just cut in half when he's on the mound. And that's probably what you're going to get out of productivity-wise. And they have a couple great bullpen arms. Florida State isn't going to blow you away with their offense in terms of power. I mean, they have obviously 20 more home runs than North Carolina, but they're average. Like, I don't think they're elite like they were last year with Cam Smith and James Tibbs and those guys. But obviously, Alex Lodice is there. You know, they're doing enough at home in giving Jamie Arnold the wins, and I think they get that done tonight. Florida State, I believe, is playing. If they win this series, they'll win the ACC. It'd be the first time since like 2012. So I would imagine they want to claim that title and roll that momentum not only into the ACC tournament, but into a, you know, permanent national seed and hopefully Omaha.
I think I have a bet on them to win the ACC.
Nick, I vaguely remember you vaguely, yeah. As like a dark horse.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of you two. I know, like, you guys are higher on Florida State. I think North Carolina, and I've said this for weeks now, I think North Carolina is the best team in the ACC, and I will still continue to kind of ride that. I want the number today to move and keep moving because I'm not going to bet them at plus 120. Like, if you look at the numbers, Jake Knapp has been better than Jamie Arnold this year. I think Jake Knapp will be – he's probably going to win ACC Pitcher of the Year. If this was – tell me who you would take. If this was on a neutral site, would you take North Carolina or Florida State? For me, it's North Carolina. I just think they've been better offensively. Like, you can look at the numbers Sierra-wise, like everything, like X, like it's been better North Carolina. I think North Carolina is the better team. I think they win this series, but I think the only game they lose might be tonight, which is why I'm not playing it today. Except what I am probably going to play today is the over. I think there's a point where this number has gotten too small for
what is it?
8.5.
Yeah, that's absurd.
It's gotten too small for how good both of these offenses are in that ballpark. Like the ballpark, that place flies. Like the ball flies that we saw, like Florida State Clemson last or 2 weekends ago there. When you have two good offenses, like 8.5 is just one of those numbers where with metal bats, I will take my chances on one of the teams getting to 6 and say yeah, this six, is 6-3. Yeah. So this is going to be one of my – I will be playing this over because it keeps going down. So I'm almost kind of waiting and like, let me see if I can get an 8 or let me see if it gets to 7.5 because it's – what they're doing is basically playing this as an MLB-type number. Except the difference is these are metal bats. These aren't wood bats. And these are college pitchers in bullpens. So it's like, I think I can trust one of these teams to get there. And if they don't, I will just raise my hand and say, okay, this was a pitching matchup we expected. And maybe it does end up 3-2, but I'm still going to play over 8.5 because with metal bats, I think you have to.
Or just look into an alternate run total.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you're dead on. Oh. Like 8.5, you just can't justify taking that.
Yeah.
Not with bullpens and college.
Nick brought up a good point. If this was on a neutral site, maybe North Carolina would be 50-50 with Florida State. But it's not. It's in Tallahassee.
I know. I know. Which is why,
I
didn't play it. Like I said,
here we go. Next up, we have Kansas and
West
Virginia. Yeah, but it's not. West Virginia dead on the money at 154. Are they still minus 154 on DraftKings? Nick?
Last I saw, they were.
That's pretty crazy.
I don't like that our site has it exact same.
154. Such a random number.
Well, they always put it because a lot of other sites will put 155 and they want the money.
Dom Vegli, Griffin Kern, two underrated pitchers in the Big 12. I know Nathan Taylor, Harrison Bogendorf.
It's 195 now.
Wow. West Virginia?
Yep. It's 195 plus 150.
Good comment here. Oh, it's Todd. Big Blue Nation in the house. Q and Nick, please pick against my Cats. Keep it going, Bar Cats. I know you meant Bat Cats, but Bar Cats seemed like pretty cool people to hang out with, especially
in Washington.
Bring on the bourbon, Todd. I actually hope Kentucky makes the College World Series just so we can hang out with him and drink whiskey again.
Yeah, I got to keep fading them. That's how we get them there.
Yeah.
All right, back to West Virginia, Kansas. I'm on West Virginia. I don't know if that number is playable anymore because I like it to a certain extent. I still think Vegli and this Kansas team, they have the ability to score 10 runs on anybody. And that kind of worries me. I know Morgantown's a little rowdy place to play. Beautiful park setting. But West Virginia's got a chance to lock up the Big 12 here. I think they do it.
I agree. I'm not confident in the minus 195 line. I think these teams are a little more even than that would say. But obviously our site does favor West Virginia at home. You just don't know what Kansas team is going to show up. You know, you're going to get the Kansas team that played against Cincinnati where, they could score 14, but then they gave up 18 in turn. And West Virginia's offense is pretty solid this year. They can swing the bat with some power. Again, it's at home with an opportunity to lock up the Big 12, which would be massive for that program. Maybe a parlay piece. It's not going to be on my card. But if you took West Virginia in a parlay piece, like I wouldn't call anybody crazy by any means.
Nick?
Yeah, I do love Griffin Kern, especially at home. I don't think it's playable anymore. I think when it was like around that 154, 150, 160-ish range, I think that's probably about right and would be playable. I just can't justify Dominic Vegli, even though he's on the road, I still can't justify that number being almost 200. So, no, this becomes unplayable for me. I think West Virginia wins today, though. Like, I think. which is why, like, at that number, it doesn't seem playable anymore. But like you said, West Virginia has a chance to lock up the Big 12. This weekend means a ton for them. So I do think they get it done. But, yeah, that number, especially now at almost 200, is not touchable for me.
All right, straight from the ashes, Florida, preseason top 25, back in the top 25, finally getting healthy, minus 273 on the site, Florida Gators versus Bama. Q? You're muted.
There we go. I like Florida here a lot. Liam Peterson's really showed growth from last year. He's pitched in some big moments. Huge series in Austin they take. They still have to win this series. Now there's talks if they can somehow sweep Alabama or win the series and win a game or two in Hoover, then they could potentially jump into the host regional section of the tournament. And I don't know, like, it's kind of a weird spot for Florida to be. You don't want to be a 15 or a 16 and then have to potentially go to Arkansas on a super, but obviously you don't want to lose the momentum either. So you just kind of ride the hot hands. And right now it's Aiden King and Liam Peterson and Pierce Capola, the 3-4 innings he can give you. The offense has really stepped up, and it hasn't been one guy. It's been, you know, Luke Kamen for a couple games. And then Justin Adu in the 9-hole has stepped up. Ashton Wilson's laid down a quality bond or gotten some RBI, you know, hits or whatever it may be. Like, all of them are collectively picking up the slack of Colby Shelton being out and Kate Curlin and some other guys. So Bama is just so up and down. I think if the series was in Tuscaloosa, you're probably looking at a maybe Bama favor. But this being at home, it's a must-win series for Florida. I think Florida wins 2 of 3. And I'll be honest, if they could somehow get a sweep, I don't think too many people would be shocked out of this. The hardest game they're going to have to face is Riley Quick.
And who's going then?
Capola.
Yeah, Capola.
Oh, that was something I called Noah Beanick out, our friend over at 11.7. And I've said it wrong too. I thought it was Capola.
Yeah, it's Capola.
I finally looked up the pronunciation guide. It is Capola. Pole. Nick, that being said.
Yeah, I mean, you covered it well. Like I said, I think this is – I have Florida in a parlay today. I think they definitely win this one with Liam Peterson. I mentioned it last week. I don't trust Tyler Fay. I don't think he's an SEC weekend arm.
Jason with 64 Analytics, thanks for tuning in, man. Hottest team in the country, yeah. The damn Florida Gators, dude. They might as well change your logo to that Undertaker meme just coming out of the grave. Like, every year. This is what they do.
Back-to-back years. But, yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's why I think it's Florida today, and I want to see what the number is for Bama tomorrow with Riley Quick. I think it's the same thing like when I played Bama against Vandy because we got them at plus, I think, 130. It's the books still haven't adjusted to Riley Quick being their best arm but throwing game twos. And now, Pierce Capola, I assume there's no way that they're going to risk him not being available correct for the postseason. So it's going to be 40, 50, like probably 60 pitches max.
He's not. I wouldn't even think he gets over 50.
You don't think he gets that far? Yeah. So
they're going to play the long game with this guy. I mean, he's had two back injuries, an arm injury, and like I said, he's 6'8". Like, you know, it's bound to happen.
Yeah. So I trust Florida today, and then I think where you get the game, I think you play Bama tomorrow. If it's around that same, maybe you get that plus 125, plus 130. I think that's where it's the most playable.
Here's where I'm curious. So, right, you got to pitch something on Capola. I think what you're going to see, and it's interesting to see this, so he went straight from Pierce to Billy Barlow, former starter at Clemson. He's kind of had like a starting role, a reliever role, back to kind of like a long reliever role, almost like that how Tennessee did last year on Friday nights. It worked really well against Texas. I want to see if Sully goes back to it Friday night, because if it does – then I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see an opener in Pierce, and then hopefully Billy gives you 4 to 5 strong innings, and then obviously you relinquish it to Luke McNeely, or, you know, God bless they don't give it to Alex Philpott anymore. But anyways, that way you keep Liam and Clemente kind of on pace, and then Saturday the other guys step up. Sunday it goes Aiden King, and then Clemente hopefully to close the game out. Is if that's the rotation and they can stay healthy like that, that's one of the most dominant heading into the tournament.
Yeah, it depends on just which Billy Barlow you get. Like
he's correct. It's like one of those weeks you can't get.
Yeah, you can't get through an inning. And then other times it was like last week where it's like, okay, this is what it looked like as a starter last year for Clemson, where he gets 4 innings, no runs against Texas. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, if he's doing that, this team becomes way, way more dangerous.
Yeah.
But are we going to get that every time? Because he hasn't been consistent. So that's one of those things. It's like, yeah, but if he's consistent in the next like 3 or 4 weeks, yeah, I don't think anybody wants to see Florida.
Next up, Troy Trojans taking on Southern Miss. A good one out of the Sun Belt. Troy still hadn't lost a series all season long. What are you doing in this one? Because Southern Miss, a big favorite, according to the site. I'm assuming the line is in favor of Troy.
I will say this. Troy is a very tough place to play. They have a strong fan base. They're a quality team. They definitely have gotten overshadowed by Coastal and Southern Miss this year, but Troy is dangerous, and they could beat a lot of teams. I mean, they've given Auburn fits. They've given some other teams fits this year. I don't like Southern Miss being on the road here. If this is at Pete Taylor, I think we're looking at a no-doubter in J.B. Middleton at home. But this is a stay-away because I really want to see what Troy's made of. I'd be lying to you if I had the info on the Sun Belt tournament. I don't know where in terms of the conference this is for them. But there may be Sun Belt implications in this game where Troy has the extra motivation. They're also trying to make the tournament too. I think Southern Miss is a lock. I don't know if we can say the same about Troy 100% yet. This series is a must-win for them.
Southern Miss actually minus 180.
Yep.
J.B. Mills has been one of the best, probably the best.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. I think he's been the best mid-major pitcher in the country. That's true. But Gillespie's kind of gone downhill the last couple of weeks. But it's one of the two of them. I don't think there's kind of anybody else. The number was too big. This is one I was like, when the number was coming out like last night, I was hoping this was going to be like even just because they're on the road so that I could bet and like back kind of J.B. Middleton. But it came out, I think it's opened at 145 or 150. And now it's 180, which is unplayable. And these two teams are polar off. Like Southern Miss has been so pitching reliant the last like few years and like how we think of Southern Miss. This year, their offense is kind of what's carrying them outside of obviously J.B. Middleton. Troy is Troy. They've been the same. They're very dominant offensively as well. This is one where Troy can't sweep people, but also they haven't lost a series. So it's been extremely weird. I think both these teams are locks to get in. There's no way either of these two teams get left out of the tourney, no matter what happens. Like, even if somebody gets swept, their RPIs are good enough. They'll be probably 2 or 3 seeds. I think Southern Miss right now is probably a 2. I think Troy is probably a 3. And then we'll see how this goes. But yeah, it's an unplayable number, but I do think Southern Miss, just because of J.B. Middleton, probably wins tonight.
All right, one that is still playable here. Very intriguing Big Ten matchup. Oregon, Iowa, two really good arms in Grayson Grinsell and Cade Overmuller. Oregon out to minus 140 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's value on the Hawkeyes at home? The strength of schedule is what worries me about Iowa. I know their record is impressive, but who have they beaten in a notable series?
No one. That's the simple answer.
That's my biggest question mark. And their offense is a lot better than in years past. I mean, 146 to 140 in weighted runs created. The pitching is pretty comparable. Cade is better in Sierra. Grinsell is better in XFIP. However you want to take that. The ERA is the same. I got nothing. I think Oregon probably has more to play for in this one. But the same could be said for Iowa. I mean,
yeah, I would need,
because this is a prove it to me series for Iowa. I'm not going to be surprised if Oregon drops the series, because I still think they're the better team. But Iowa playing at home, I think plus 110. Plus 1.5, minus 130 on the run line. I think it could be lower scoring. But this tight of a margin, I feel like it's playable.
Yeah, it's a stay away for me. I kind of have that fear. Does Oregon drop a series that they have no business losing? And maybe this is it, kind of looking ahead to the Big Ten tournament. I kind of want to see, like, Grayson Grinsell on the road here against a kind of a weird team, in my opinion. See what the Iowa offense can do against a true ace. It's probably the first ace they've faced all year. So it's more of just a kind of sit back, watch, and say, okay, is this team legit or what can they do here? But, yeah, nothing on me.
Todd, so those of you who follow me on Twitter, I tweeted out a little trademark that I'm working on here. The pitchers we can trust parlay. I've got Zach Root, Tommy Lepore, Jamie Arnold. He added Kyson Witherspoon to that list. Do you guys hate that? Oh, the problem is I don't like Oklahoma's offense at times, and we just saw Kyson struggle last weekend. That's the only reason he didn't make it in. I think he does have a big bounce back game though at home, so I don't hate that at all.
I don't hate it, but like I said, I think North Carolina is a better team. I don't think it's par. I don't think like Florida State's a parlayable piece would be like my thing. It's like if you're gonna play them, I would play like Florida State by themselves. But to put it in like a four leg parlay is probably isn't how I would do it. And then also, then basically, you're also saying you're trusting the Oklahoma offense over that Texas offense. And Kyson Witherspoon, he's the better pitcher for sure. But I don't know if I can trust that offense right now.
I think I would have done the form of trusting pitchers in the sense of both pitchers I trust, Texas and Oklahoma, to getting me to the under. But probably would have been what I played there.
Yeah, Kate Bing going for Texas, though. We haven't seen him a lot.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
No, Rojas.
Yeah. I don't trust Ruger Rojas at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but against, in my opinion, a subpar Oklahoma offense, like, yeah.
Yeah, I'll say real quick, just going back. So, I did play Oregon. I got it at minus 115. I think we saw Iowa's best last week against Oregon State, and they just weren't in the same league. Like, Oregon State kind of pushed them around until it went extra innings. I know game three before it got postponed or canceled, which ended in a tie. But the rest of the weekend just weren't up to par with Oregon State. And then Oregon beat Oregon State four times this year. I trust Grayson Grenzell more than I trust Cade Overmuller. I know they're at home. Iowa definitely needs this more. Like, Oregon right now is probably comfortable at least with a host, unless they get like swept. I think they're probably a host. Iowa probably needs to win this just to get in a tournament. Like, it might be crazy that they might win the Big Ten and not get in the tourney.
Terrible RPI
because of the strength of schedule. They haven't beaten anybody. Every time they play somebody good, they've gotten beat. And I just think Oregon's one of those teams where it's just like, I will take the talent. Even though Oregon is worse against left-handed pitchers than they are right, I think this is probably low scoring, like Matt said, but I do trust Oregon more. I don't think it's playable at minus 145 like it is now. But I got it at minus 115 where I'll take the better team and who I think is the better pitcher.
Todd says, yes, Texas not going versus normal Friday guy. I think Texas is starting to feel the effects of the gauntlet of the SEC. I agree. I've been a seller on Texas.
But it's a Big 12 matchup.
You take enough punches in the mouth in a heavyweight fight, you're going to start feeling it.
All right, and the heaviest of heavyweight fights going on, Tony Vitello versus Dave Van Horn here in Fayetteville, my team versus Nick's team. Tennessee just reeling right now. Need a big SEC series win to close out the season. Can they get it, Nick? I'll propose it to you this way. Tennessee wins this series if
– literally everything goes right. I don't see Tennessee winning this series. I will say it as a Tennessee fan. I'm hoping we get one. That's kind of where we're at right now. And I'm sure you'll talk about it. I don't think it's tonight. Like, I have Arkansas in a parlay piece tonight. I think tomorrow's when it has to be. I think I know Arkansas said TBA. We're assuming it's going to be Beetlejuice that throws tomorrow. Liam Doyle, like, obviously that's where the pitching matchup. I don't know if you can pull it up, like, what that matchup would be that our website has. But I think Tennessee has to win tomorrow. I think that's the game they can steal. Otherwise, like, we saw what Arkansas is like at home. Like, Arkansas at home is probably the best team in the country. Or it's either LSU at home or it's Arkansas at home. I think it's one of those two. And we saw what they did against when Texas came into their house. I think it could be the same type of thing. So I'm hoping Tennessee gets one here. I think if Tennessee gets one, they host. I think if Tennessee gets swept, they do not. But yeah, today I think it's Arkansas today. And I'm kind of, tell me what you feel about this. I'm kind of leaning over here as well. Because right now it's 9.5. Marcus Phillips has not been great lately. I think Arkansas is going to put up 6.
Yeah, I can see that.
So do we think Tennessee gets to 3 or 4?
I think
this is another one where this number is a little bit short.
I mean, you're talking about the 7th and 3rd ranked offenses in the country at putting up runs. I agree with that. I'm not going to be surprised if it's a 7-5, 6-4, 8-3.
If this was Doyle Root, I would understand the number being 9.5. But I think with this Phillips Root, like, and neither one's been, even Root hasn't been like fantastic.
Root's given up some runs though in some games.
Yeah, and I think he's been good, but he's still been susceptible to give up. Like, his version of great has been giving up, like, 2 or 3. So it's like Tennessee will score some, and I think Arkansas is going to put up, like I said, 5 or 6. So it's like, do we think Tennessee can get to 3 or 4?
Nick, just to put a bow on that, so if this game was played at Baumwalker, they'd be the College World Series champions.
If the whole World Series was played at Arkansas, I think Arkansas would be the national champions, yes.
But it's not, so we're not going to talk
about that. No.
All right, one more that I do like Root tonight. I think for what he's done at home and Tennessee struggling a little bit against lefties, I like them in this position. I do think they drop game 2. I hope we can get some plus money on Tennessee because I will be on them tomorrow, assuming it is Bottle Sheese. One that – oh, wait a second. Wow. Jason says Tennessee 2-1. I would like your explanation on that.
I would be shocked. Even as a Tennessee fan, I would be
shocked. Gage Wood and Tegan Coons going in game 3.
Here's like the Wednesday night action version of a Thursday night series right here.
Arkansas State, Red Wolves should have never changed from the Indians. Versus the Raging Cajuns here. Nick has a play.
Yeah.
He says Doyle gets second game. Comes down to tonight.
So he's saying Gage Wood loses some Friday, Saturday.
Or no, he's saying come down to tonight. So he's saying like.
Yeah, he thinks Tennessee's got a chance to win tonight. Arkansas State, a whopping 83 weighted runs created. Well below average. What is the line in this one?
135. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So all bet Louisiana right now.
That's why I wanted you to pull this one up for the show. This is my favorite bet of the day. Chase Morgan is going for Louisiana. He's their ace. Arkansas State's actually throwing off. So they're throwing a bullpen guy and Gavin Galley. And Arkansas State is the 11th best team in the Sun Belt against left-handed pitchers. Literally nothing in this matchup. You look at every single number, nothing points towards Arkansas State. They also haven't been good on the road. Louisiana, despite their flaws in the Sun Belt this year, I think we all thought they'd be better than they have been. But they've been very good at home. And so, like, literally every number points to this being all about Louisiana. And the number being in the books, minus 135, we have it on our site, minus 302. This was a hammer for me.
Is this worth a 7-unit play?
Nothing is worth – we talked about this. Nothing is worth a 7-unit play. You should have learned that like 3 weeks ago. You put 8 on Arkansas and lost. So nothing is that for me. But, yeah, this was an automatic bet Louisiana, my favorite bet of the day.
Favorite bet of the day.
Yes.
The Raging Cajuns.
Yep.
I like even numbers in my sports betting account, though. I bet 350 to win 250.
Yeah, this was an auto. This was an absolute love auto it. Play.
I don't. Because, I mean.
Okay. I'm going to make it a 2-unit play, though.
You're playing it, Matt?
Yep. 140 to win 100. 2-unit. Well, actually. Almost 3-unit play.
All right, hold on. It's going to be I feel pressured.
Look at this, talking them into it. Like I said, this is my favorite bet of the day. This was actually the first bet I took out of like once numbers came out. As soon as I saw it, it didn't look right, And then once I actually dug into it more and did the actual handicapping, it just made even more sense.
Done. Yep. I'm going to trust the site. Any other matchups you guys want to cover before we move on?
I think Notre Dame-Miami is a good one. I'll just give it out. I'm on the Miami side. I think they need the series. Griffin Hugues has been really good for them. I guess you want to call it a down start. Like, he actually pitched really well against Virginia. I think he had – and they kind of dink and dunked him in the first inning. Like, he didn't give up any long balls until I think the sixth. Actually, I don't even think he gave up one, a solo shot to Luke Hansen. But then the reliever came in and gave up a two-run shot to Didowick. But Jack Riddell's pitching. Miami really needs a series. They get to come back home after being swept. I just think they straighten it out tonight and win Friday night or Thursday night.
What's the line on that one?
It was -166. They're probably a decent parlay, like maybe them in West Virginia. You probably get, that's going to get you plus money.
They are, yes, the 166.
Here's another one that I kind of looked at. Over-under is 15.5. The ball flies in Provo.
Yeah, I knew exactly where you're going.
But BYU is sneaky good at home in their first game of the series before everything just goes down the drain.
This is shocking. Texas Tech favorite.
I'm not buying it because we've watched Texas Tech. I think our site, I don't know. I think BYU is a little better, specifically on their first game in a series at home.
Well,
I didn't play it, but I'm leaning
in. The biggest thing is because Justice Reiser is a relief pitcher.
Yeah.
He's getting the start. His numbers not good.
It's probably more of a fade against Texas Tech on the road. It's just abysmal.
I would say, because I've played it, so we can talk about it. I would say go ahead and pull up A&M at Georgia. Because this was a number
I told you just, that
I played it. So I played A&M at +185. Now it's down to +140. I think that number was just – I know what happened last weekend, and it was disgusting. There's no
way. It's the most Georgia thing to lose.
Yes, tonight. And there's no other way to put it. But it's
it also, would be the most Texas A&M –
yes.
Thing yeah. To beat Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're throwing Goldstein, who's been throwing on Tuesdays. They're not throwing Curley until tomorrow. Like, it's still Prager going tonight. So, you're talking about an ace versus – you're talking about, yeah, an ace versus a midweek starter. So, if you're going to give me +185, it's one of those I had to take it. And I don't think anybody's going to be shocked that no matter what this outcome ends up being. So, yeah, like, that 185 was just very disrespectful. So, +140. I don't know. Do you guys think it's still playable at +140 or no? Because, like I said, I got at 185 where it was like high enough to I can justify it. But 140 is very. It's like right
as soon as Brian Curley leaves the game, the doors are wide open.
No, because not Curley's all. That's what I'm saying. Curley's tomorrow.
They're
throwing Goldstein today. Yeah,
I mean Goldstein's got to hit all year long.
Yeah,
and there's no bullpen piece. Because their closer is now their starter.
Yeah.
So I'm drawing a blank. Damn, he's like the leading hitter on Georgia's team or a real tall guy. Is he back?
I actually haven't heard.
That's a big piece of this.
They said if he's back, he's DH only. He can't play first. Okay. But I do not. He didn't play. Oh, they didn't play Tuesday because they got canceled. So I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, so they haven't said if he's – at least I haven't seen because I know he didn't play last week or he hasn't played the last few weeks. And they got canceled Tuesday, so I'm not sure.
So what happens if A&M wins this series? And then they go win a game or two in Hoover.
They'd have to get two. Me and Matt talked about this on Jeff's show on Tuesday. They have, 13 is no longer their number because of, where their RPI is and because of where – that loss last weekend was disgusting. You getting swept. So their number is no longer 13. Their number is 14, which means they have to get.
I think it's now 30. They need 30 wins.
If they get two this weekend, they still need two in the SEC tourney because that also means RPI is going to help because that means an SEC tourney, like where they're lined up right now, means you probably beat. It would be beating Kentucky or Mississippi State in game one. And then game two means you probably beat somebody like a Tennessee or a Florida. So it's like you have to get two this weekend, and you have to get two. I think their number is 14 now. It's not 13 like it usually is. So, yeah, I think
that RPI. I mean, I know they're similar to Florida last year, but Florida's RPI was so strong last year.
Yeah.
But they're teetering that, like, barely over 500 line, and the committee already gave us an insight, like, they're going to look heavily on the SEC and give the benefit of the doubt. And it worked out, right, because Florida was a Final Four team. But do they give that grace again to the team that was a finalist last year, saying, you know what, they have the pieces, let's just give it a chance, and hopefully we strike gold again? It's so hard to hit gold two times in a row, though. I mean,
yeah, that's why I think it's 14. I think that's what – if they lose this series, unless they go on just a crazy SEC tournament run, I think they need this series. And then, like I said, I think they need at least two.
If they don't win the series, I think they're one and done in Hoover, because I think all the momentum's gone. If they win the series
– I mean, RPI right now, 59. If they beat Georgia twice, it probably ends up in the – like, especially 40s. On the road, in the high 40s. And then say they beat, like, a Kentucky or, like, Tennessee and Florida and get two – then you're talking now they're in like the 30s. Low, yeah. Now they're in the low 40s or high 30s with 14 SEC wins. Then it would be hard to leave them out.
Yeah.
Did you see the shirts that Wes Johnson made for them? Mm-hmm. A couple of look at that.
Oh, that was from the Arkansas series, wasn't it?
Yeah. And they got after Root. I think they can get after Prager. I think that's the one thing where maybe. And what ultimately led me to stay away from it.
Wait, did they not get shut out? I thought they got shut out by Root. Because remember, I thought we were joking about, like, you probably shouldn't have had these shirts and then get absolutely owned.
Root got tore up by Ole Miss.
Yeah, but was I'm talking it about
Ole Miss. Yeah, that's that
tore Ole Miss just tore them up.
Yeah, that's what I think we joked about, because they had these during VP. And I'm pretty sure Root, like, went like seven shutouts.
Okay,
like,
seven shutouts. Zach Root throws eight scoreless in Arkansas.
Yes. Yeah, Ole Miss.
No, wait. That was.
Yeah.
Why'd that pull up?
We were joking about these shirts where it's like, okay, you left hitting that team in the pitchers. And then literally the day of the game, I don't think they scored.
No.
Because I thought I remember us joking about that. Because it's like, oh, maybe they can't left-handed pitching after all.
And Jason said, I think they.
See, beat. I can't. I don't think so. Because that was the one Arkansas got. But I could be wrong.
I'm looking. Give me a second.
The only teams I remember hitting Root were Florida and Ole Miss, and I think Charlotte. When Charlotte put up like a six-piece on them.
Yeah, Root threw 5 2/3, gave up 5 hits, 3 earned runs, had 3 walks, 7 strikeouts.
That's still a quality start. No, because he didn't get to 6 innings.
Jimenez still got the.
Five hits. But
three I mean, he wasn't great.
Shouldn't have been walking. Yeah, the walks kind of hurt him. Okay. Yeah, I guess I was remembering that different. Because I thought I could have swore I remembered us talking like in our group chat where it's like they put these shirts on and then. Didn't hit Root. It's like, oh.
All right. So maybe they don't get around Prager.
Maybe they would just play the over in every game.
In every game.
So like 11,
I was like, yeah, I'll just take my 185.
All right.
Last one you want to pull up. All right.
Okay.
Here. I was going to say Ole Miss and Auburn anyways.
Yeah.
And that's like our first one played, SEC pick.
I played Ole Miss.
Yeah, I really did like your play.
Mm-hmm.
I almost pulled the trigger on it and tailed you.
Like, this is one of those where it's Ole Miss today, Auburn tomorrow.
But it's Ole Miss, like, minus 150 now.
Right. Has it gone up?
Yeah.
Let me see. Look at this, moving numbers with $50 bets. This is just also, too, like, playing into the notion that I feel like this is going to be the most college baseball minus weekend
145
ever to where we overreact and say, okay, maybe this team isn't that good. And I think Auburn, I mean, their RPI, their strength of schedule, they speak for themselves. It's an impressive record. Butch Thompson's done a great job. But I just have a feeling Ole Miss is going to win this series, make Auburn come back down to earth a little bit. I think Auburn gets game two with
Dutton. Has Auburn run into everybody's rut in the season? Like, have they just been perfectly placed?
It feels like it.
Yeah.
It can go both ways.
Like, they've battled.
Are
they,
yeah. Are they a reason for the rept, or have they just gotten lucky? Like, it can go – I see what you mean, but it can be viewed different ways.
Jace says thoughts on Dutton, legit top five ace, or just strung together some good weekends. I think he's good. I think he's
earned it. I mean, he really only got touched up one time.
Yeah, one bad start.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Dutton versus Maddox.
I mean, you got
it's auto Auburn tomorrow, yeah.
And it makes Auburn the favorite.
Yeah, I think the only guy that probably hasn't been touched this year is Liam Doyle. But outside of that, I mean, everybody, Liam Peterson, Dutton, like Zach Root. I mean, you name it. Everybody's
Kate Anderson.
Yeah.
Tyson's had two bad ones. Yeah.
Yeah. It's normal, right? Like, nobody's going 10-0 every year with a perfect ERA.
That means Liam Doyle's going to get blown up tomorrow.
He's been waiting weeks to do that.
Yeah.
Everybody has to go through it. And Arkansas, in their past, they have taken it to really good pitchers. It's like Paul Skeens comes to mind.
Yeah. And I was shocked to find out that Liam Doyle's strikeout per nines is actually hot. So right now, Paul Skeens has the record for strikeouts per nine, and Doyle's is higher.
Yeah.
So it's like Doyle might actually break that record this year, depending on how the next few weeks go. Even though I've watched every Liam Doyle start as a Tennessee fan, it doesn't feel as dominant as Skeens. But when you look at the numbers, it's like, holy crap, maybe he actually
That is it. Weird because it really hasn't. Like,
yeah,
and maybe.
But then,
It's chaos.
It's a kid-friendly show.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into that. Auburn versus Ole Miss. Smitty took Ole Miss 2-1. I'm also going Ole Miss 2-1. Q, do you want to let your kid pick?
She did say hi for the record, so she's on the podcast. This is a tough one, man. This is where I could really shit the bed here.
Christian Chatterton versus Mason Nichols.
For the third game.
The site has this dead even. 100 both ways. So if you're going by the site, it's
this.
Ole Miss, Auburn, coin flip.
Is Ole Miss slated in a tournament?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're in at 35 and 17.
I think their RPI is like 16, too, or something like that. Yeah.
17, yeah.
17.
I think this is where Auburn drops a series. I think I'm going to go Ole Miss 2-1.
I can't make up any ground doing that.
Good, because I'm Auburn 2-1.
Oop. Texas A&M, Georgia. Smitty's Georgia 2-1.
2-1 Ole Miss?
Yeah, I'm 2-1 Ole Miss.
So I'm the only one on Auburn? Okay.
Yeah,
I'll take that all day.
I'm going to go – I still don't.
Dude, can we just all flip a coin and whatever we land on for the next series?
I'll say it.
I think A&M, here's the thing. If they don't win tonight, they're going to get swept. I think
That's
they've given
really possible.
Up. I'm going Georgia 3-0.
I'll go Georgia 2-1. No.
Gosh, damn it. I'm trying to cover ground here, Q.
I think you're spot on. I have to go with you because I think if they don't win tonight, it's over. That season's done. Wrap it up.
So you're Georgia 3-0?
Yeah, I'm going Georgia sweep because I think they're going to win tomorrow with Brian Curley. Now, I think you take the under in that game, Lambkin Curley. But, man, if Goldstein can somehow figure out how to not let A&M score as much.
Do y'all see this? He is just playing defense.
All right, fine. I'll start going first then. I'll take Georgia 3-0.
So I already said it. I bet A&M money line today. So yeah. I think this is the one they get. So I will go Georgia 2-1.
Kentucky Vandy. No, Alabama Florida.
Bama, Florida.
You said Florida, or Smitty said Florida 2-1. Q, I'm assuming you're going to say 2-1.
Yeah, I think Quick can get them. Florida 2-1.
Yep, talked about it earlier in the show. I think Quick wins tomorrow. So I think, and I'll be betting, yeah, hopefully we get Bama at plus 120, 125, 130-ish tomorrow. So I think that's when they get. So Florida 2-1. Matt,
I think you go Florida 3-0.
I was leaning that.
They're not facing – like, Quick is not Liam Doyle. And they're playing. If you want to gain ground, that's the play, and you're going to look like a genius.
Now he's trying to get in your head.
Get her upstairs.
I still think Florida is playing some of the best baseball right now. They want to host. I'm going to go Florida 3-0. Kentucky Vandy. Kentucky 2-1 for Smitty. No shock there, Todd. Don't mess this up.
No, I'm going to keep riding it. I need to get Todd back out to Omaha and have a bourbon with them. So I'm going to go Vandy 2-1. I think Vandy's playing for a national host spot, which they need, right? Like, they're not the best team on the road. They're a completely different team. They're an Omaha team at home, and they have to at least play a Supers at home. So they're going to be an 8 seed here. 2-1.
Yeah, stick with my guns.
Jason said 11 hits versus Missouri in 3 games. Talking about A&M.
Yeah, they're gross. They have 4.
I think they're done.
Missouri, they just finished completion on their pitching lab, apparently.
Is Mizzou the hottest team in the country? Yeah. People are asking.
It's up and running. They're the next Frank Anderson.
Yeah. Their team ERA is down to like 9.1. Yeah.
Just think back before the season started. If I would have told you that Missouri was going to sweep the consensus number one team, what would you have guessed their record was in the SEC? Because I guarantee you would have said 3-27.
No.
Hey, but they swept Florida last year, who was the consensus like number two team.
Yeah, weird things happen.
Giant killer, Missouri Tigers.
Remember they took 2-3 from Tennessee. Like that, the 22 Tennessee team, they took 2-3 from. That was the only series Tennessee lost all year. Was the
They're
Missouri
that guy
series.
That just gets rocked in a street fight and just has one last punch and he just hits you right in the jaw and just lands it. That's it.
So, what did you do? You went Vandy 2-1.
Q went Vandy 2-1. I'm also, I got to stick with my guy. Just,
I lean Vandy 2-1.
No matter what, I can't do a Kentucky series right. So yeah. No matter what I say, an opposite thing is going to happen.
I pick them, they lose the series. I fade them and they win.
Yep. So I'll just go Vandy 2-1 because I'll take the home team.
Here's the thing. These two teams are so comparable.
Yes.
Like, they play the same style. Vandy is a little better and they're at home.
Thompson's not throwing today either, is he, right? Is he throwing? He's throwing tomorrow? Are they doing Thompson, Bowker, Friday, Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Vandy's I don't know. Vandy 2-1, which means Kentucky's probably
going to win. I actually think tonight is the more of a toss-up with Austin.
Tonight's the most 50-50. Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to go Vandy sweep. Sorry, Todd. I got to try to get points, and
We just guaranteed a Kentucky series win.
Probably.
For sure.
All right, LSU, South Carolina. I think we're probably all going to be in unison here. LSU 3-0.
Yeah, Carolina.
Next one, or do you think Missouri has another upset?
Kind of thinking they got some life.
11 hits they held Texas A&M
to. I didn't see the SEC pitch chart. What's the rotation for Mississippi State?
Cone, Sierry, Legone. Versus Brady Kellenbrink. TBA, TBA.
Nah, Mississippi's sweeping. They need the wins.
I agree.
Up here.
Mississippi State 3-0.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Mizzou, they had their fun. I think now it's back to the real life this weekend.
Todd, with a little insight, Vandy is throwing a stud freshman pitcher, Austin Knight.
Yeah. He was the number 3 pitcher in the country coming out of high school. But he hadn't thrown a lot.
I want to see Vanderbilt throw Austin Nye, and then I want to see Kentucky counter it with true freshman Layden Harris.
I think Connor Fennell, where is he?
He'll throw game three.
Piggyback with Booker.
Yeah, I mean, he only threw – they took him out after like 70 – I think he only threw like 71 pitches against Tennessee. But Tennessee was obviously like getting to him. But, yeah, I assume he's still
– I think he has the best stuff.
Oh, no, he has the worst stuff, but it works. What? He tops out at like 87, and he throws
– I mean, there's no way he's better than J.D. Thomas.
His changeup at like literally 70 poo miles an hour.
You know who he reminds me of is the pitcher from Louisville several years ago?
The guy.
The guy, yeah, the, that guy. The rec specs guy.
He ruined their Omaha experience.
Yeah, well, so he talked all that crap, and then he turned around and got blown up, I think, the very next inning.
He did, yeah.
Yep.
That was when they were a national seed. Mm-hmm. That was probably Louisville's best chance.
I do think Fennell has the lowest Sierra, though, on their team.
He does. No,
because he's throwing 76 miles an hour. Nobody can hit it.
He struggled the last three weekends. I think they're trying to get him right. Nasty change, but he's gotten hit pretty hard.
Yeah. Stuff-wise, the worst. Stats, though, the best.
All right. So, what are y'all doing? Mississippi State, Mizzou?
I sweep Mississippi State.
Yeah, I said 3-0 as well.
Okay. Texas OU. Smitty says Texas 2-1. I hope not.
I don't have as much faith in Oklahoma's offense. I'm going to go Texas 2-1 as well.
Okay.
So they really need the series.
Oklahoma 2-1.
I was, I wish Q was going Oklahoma, because I'm also – I don't think Oklahoma could win outside of – it would, like, tonight's the one they get. So I do think Texas 2-1 is what I'll take.
If you're Texas and you lose your third straight heading into the tournament, that's not good.
Either way, I think even if they win this series, I'm going to fade them in the regional.
Yeah. Well, that's a crazy thing I heard. Like, so, yeah, if they lose this third one in a row, like Arkansas and Tennessee have combined to win two of their last 11 SEC series. Yes, think of that. Like, that is wild. If I told you Arkansas and Tennessee would win two out of 11 series combined, you're like, okay, so neither one's ranked anymore. But it's like, no, they're still both looked at as possible national championship contenders. It makes no sense sometimes this year.
Well, when I think the biggest thing for Arkansas is that they haven't gotten swept. And they've been in every – like, you look
Tennessee
at Georgia.
Tennessee hasn't either.
They almost won the series against LSU last week.
Neither one is
– right. It came down to that extra innings
game.
Same
with Tennessee when they lost LSU. Like, it was a walk-off.
Yep.
You know, like, they're not getting blown out.
That is college baseball.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this, because this was something I was thinking of this morning. If you look back at, okay, so put these teams this year, match them up with 2021 Arkansas, 22 Tennessee, 23 LSU Wake, 24 Tennessee and A&M. Is there a team this year as good as any of those? No. Because my answer is no.
There's not.
That's what I think. This is the worst and most parody.
I think LSU, Arkansas are the two
would be the closest.
Most reasonably make an argument for that are like last year, Tennessee and A&M.
But then you look at,
because if you look, so I actually went back and looked at the guide that we put out for Omaha. Like, Tennessee was good. A&M was better on paper. But the way that A&M came into the tournament and how they were playing, it was just better. Now, it could have gone a different way had that not been called a check swing, and they would have lost to what, North Carolina?
No, Florida State you're talking about.
They killed
North Carolina. I think it's 8-1.
Yeah, but you lose that game and you play in a loser's bracket. It's, you know, you just never know.
Yeah. But it was also
ERA. LSU, right? Like, Wyatt Langford's ball is 6 inches higher and Florida wins a national championship. So
this year's wide open. Arkansas, LSU are a big step down from any of those teams Nick mentioned.
I
would agree. I wouldn't say a big step down. I think they're definitely a step down, though.
I think it's big.
As far as
Tennessee's the one you mentioned, they had six guys hit 20 plus home runs last year. And that doesn't even count having the number one pitching staff ERA-wise in Sierra in the country last year. And they were the first SEC team.
I think A&M was better.
26 years, they were the first team to win regular season, tournament, national championship, all in the same season. And then I think
A&M had the best pitching staff.
I would have liked Tennessee, to see 23 LSU one. Play last year's
when
test.
They went into it.
I think that would have been a hell of a matchup.
Oh, yeah, that would have been – yeah, that would have been great.
Then again, you got the 23 Florida team is probably just as good.
See, I think 23, yeah, Wake LSU. Yeah, Wake LSU.
Like, that was one of the most dominant College World Series we ever saw.
Well, think how close Wake was. What was that? That game ended up in, like, 1-0. Innings? I think it was 1-0 in 11 innings between Louder and Skeens.
Yeah, last so like year.
And it was a bunt. It was a squeeze. So, like, you're one play away from it being Wake winning it.
They are. I mean, Texas A&M was number two. The weighted runs created last year for Tennessee was 217.
That's absurd.
They were number one. A&M was 194. So, yeah, they are a big step.
217 is wild.
Yeah.
Last year's Tennessee team would have shit.
But then Florida State was right there at 193. They were three.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they had
Arkansas had the top Sierra at 271. Next closest was LSU, then A&M. Tennessee was sixth.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, I just don't think there's a team this year that is one of the top. I don't like. You could probably say we've mentioned, what, 8 to 10 teams in out of the last, like, 4 or 5 years, and I don't think there's a team this year that I think is that – at least not one's appeared yet.
There's not a confident national championship.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Arkansas is the best – in weighted runs created outside of High Point and Lamar, and they're at 163. So you're talking 60% less than what Tennessee was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big drop off.
Anybody.
And then in Sierra, Arkansas was one at 2 point whatever. And this year, the best team, I think, is Vanderbilt.
I think they're number one right now. Yeah.
But I think they're over three. Oh, no, 269. Tennessee's 270. Arkansas's 277. So, I mean, pitching staff-wise, they're comparable, but hitting, that offense, not comparable at all. All right, we've gotten off track. Where were we? Texas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Arkansas.
Tennessee, Arkansas, 2-1. Yeah.
Smitty says Arkansas 2-1. No shock here. But I'm going to go Arkansas 2-1.
Both of us.
Nick?
I unfortunately think Tennessee gets swept, but for myself and just my – I'm taking Arkansas 2-1 because I need Tennessee.
Wow.
But
I hate you.
I honestly do
think – Tennessee wins the series.
Yeah, Tennessee's going to win 2-1.
I just can't see it. I can't – like the way they're playing right now, I can't see it happening. I think I –
especially being on the road.
In my heart,
I think Tennessee are you going to the game, Matt? Are you going to any of them?
I think Tennessee gets swept.
This would have been a hell of a series to go to.
Yeah. I'm still worried that if I take my wife to a Tennessee game, she's going to try to leave me for Tennessee.
She's
going to convert.
She's going to leave you for Tony V.
Yeah. I would just request tickets. All right. I'll go. All right. So, well, that wraps it up.
Did we all go Arkansas 2-1 then?
Close it out. Yep. I'm going to close it out with Home Field Apparel. Just a reminder, get your gear for regionals. If you have a team, don't have a team, want to root for somebody, go ahead, buy your stuff, get it in time for the regionals. It's the most exciting time of the year. You might as well rep your favorite brand, and Home Field has a great selection of all of them. Arkansas starting. Wait. Jason says Arkansas starting pitching isn't good right now. It's Root and a big question mark.
And Tennessee's offense isn't good right now.
Here's the thing, though.
They were good 2 weeks ago.
Back end,
Texas.
Gabe Gackle may now be one of the best arms out of the bullpen in the country that you can turn to. Got the four pitch mix. I mean, he's a starter on any other team. Wood got crushed. Bottle cheese. Can't get out of the second. I'll give him the third. I think Gage was a fluke.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, like, we couldn't hit Einstein at all.
That was one of those. Yeah. LSU kind of, that was one of those. Just they bum rushed him early. And
yes.
It was just like, okay, this is, yeah. They had
it not going well.
Yeah.
I said this was going to be the weekend of overreactions. You fast forward an hour into the show.
Love Jason. He's firing away today. Love it.
I don't think.
Jason, we're going to Gilbert's.
I can say that it isn't good right now. Maybe the starting.
I would say it's not living up to expectations. I wouldn't say it's not good. I would say it's not living up to what people thought it was going to be.
I think heading into the season,
that's fair.
And if Vital Sheets can get out of, like, just get three innings.
Get through the order. Yeah.
It's in the Big Ten anymore, boys.
He said, I love the Hogs. I just like Tennessee here.
I hope
Jason,
you're right.
We're looking Jake Gilbert's. You're in.
I hope
you're
right.
We shall see. Yeah, I asked him if he was going to be out in Omaha. He said, TBA.
I don't like
that. OU might sweep Texas. I'm telling y'all, Texas has almost no pitching staff. Very, very shallow and worn down staff. Not a lot of offense in that lineup either. I don't disagree.
I wouldn't agree with the last part.
They have the number three pitching staff in the SEC stat wise? Like, yeah, it's one of those where it's like the numbers. It's like the numbers. It's like one of those weird ones where it's like the numbers translate.
That's
better
why I don't trust ERA.
Yeah, the numbers translate better to what they look like when you see them, but their pitching staff has actually been
so they're tied with Tennessee as the best ERA at 3.55. But when you look at Sierra, which is the more predictable stat, they're 12th. 12th. And I think we're seeing that. Max Belly coming back. Yeah, he was trying to get ready for a postseason.
Correct. I don't think he does anything but DH. I think he pinch hits is what they were talking about this weekend. I don't think he's in the lineup permanently.
He'll be back for regionals.
But, yes, he will be back for regionals. At what capacity? Who knows? But, yeah, that is a big get for the guy who's, top probably four or five hitter in the SEC. Possibly country.
Yeah.
All right. You got anything else? Wrap it up.
No, my kids are killing themselves. I got to go rescue them.
All right. Well, until next week when we preview the conference tournaments, thank you very much for all the comments. We will see you next week. Cash some tickets this weekend. And if you're not already a member of the clubhouse, go join. I don't have to beg you, but go check it out. Until next time.